So the chief butler and the chief baker, they had dreamed some dreams. We saw how the Lord God enabled Joseph to interpret the meanings of those dreams. And we also saw how that the Lord God caused the dreams, as Joseph had interpreted them, they came to pass. It happened exactly the way Joseph said that it would. The chief butler was restored to his position as chief butler. And the chief baker, you remember, his head was lifted up and the birds ate him, right? And he was killed. He was killed, just exactly as Joseph had said would happen. But you remember that Joseph told the chief butler, after he had interpreted the dream, that in 3 days he was going to be lifted up, he was going to be restored to his position. Look at it in look back in chapter 40, verse number 14. Joseph made a request. Joseph made a request. Here's what he said. He said, "But think on me." In other words, remember me, okay? "Remember me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." In other words, out of this prison. Now, the Bible does not record the answer of this man, but knowing human nature just a little bit, as I do, I'm pretty sure that the chief butler, after receiving the good news that in 3 days he was going to be restored to his position, I'm sure that the chief butler, when Joseph made his request, probably responded by saying, "No, Joseph, don't you worry. We're buddies. You can count on it. I'll remember you. And I'll speak on your behalf. And I've got some connections. And I'll get things. Don't you worry. It's as good as done. Don't worry about it." And I'm sure he was sincere when he said it. I'm sure he was sincere when he said it. But notice in chapter 40, verse 23, the Bible says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him." Forgot him. You know the old saying, out of sight, out of mind, right? Out of sight, out of mind. Boy, as soon as those gates opened and he was out the door, Joseph just flew right out of his mind. He totally forgot all about him. Totally forgot all about him. And that would certainly have been discouraging for Joseph. Especially now when we come to our text in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." 2 full years have gone by. For 2 years, Joseph continually, faithfully served there in the prison, but every day hoping this would be the day that the butler will remember him. And this will be the day that word will come down from the office of Pharaoh that his sentence has been reduced, his case has been reviewed, and he's going to be released. And yet, day after, for 2 full years, disappointment, because somebody with very good intentions lied to him and forgot all about him. I believe there are two things I ought to mention here, just by way of introduction. Actually, these are sermons in themselves, but just want to mention them. First of all, I want you to notice his steadfastness. His steadfastness. I mention his steadfastness because Joseph was the kind of fella that did not allow the unfaithfulness of one person to affect his faithfulness. Have you ever known people that they're faithful and then all of a sudden somebody else gets out of the traces, they fall, but they're no longer, and this person sees this person being unfaithful and they say, "I'm not going to be faithful either." Joseph had more character than that. Joseph had more care. Even though the butler has proven to be totally unfaithful, yet Joseph was faithful. Faithful serving every day right there in the prison house, doing just as he had done before. Steadfast. Faithful. And he did that because of a second thing, I think, that was working in Joseph's life, and that was his understanding. His understanding. You see, Joseph understood that he's actually still in God's school so that he can learn even more about patiently waiting on God's time. It's one of the hardest lessons for us to learn as humans, isn't it? Learning to wait on God. Learning to trust His timing in our lives. And so Joseph is in this situation and he's still learning. He's having to learn every day how to wait on God. How to wait on God's timing in his life. And then it finally came. Finally it came. I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, we see Pharaoh's dreams. Verse number one says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Pharaoh dreamed. Just as the Lord God had revealed His plan and purpose for the life of Joseph through the series of 2 dreams. You remember we saw those before. Just as the Lord God had revealed His plan and purpose for the life of Joseph through a series of 2 dreams, now God is going to reveal His plan and purpose for the nation of Israel. And He's going to do it through, for the nation of Egypt. And He's going to do it through a series of 2 dreams. He's going to do it through a series, excuse me just a minute, technical difficulties. Okay. So he's going to do it through a series of 2 dreams. And let's notice letter A, the substance of the dreams. The substance of the dreams. And I'm just going to call it, number one was the cow dream. The cow dream. Verse number one, came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine. Those are cows. They're bovine animals. And they were fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, and Pharaoh awoke. Whew. Wow, what a dream. You ever had a dream and you wake up in the morning and say, whew, boy, what a dream. Yeah, that kind of like that. Man, what in the world? That's almost like a nightmare, you know. The cow dream. Well, then he went back to sleep, and it was followed by, and I knew Pastor Moore would like this because it's all C's, it was the corn dream. Okay? The corn dream. Verse 5, and he slept. He goes back to sleep. He dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it's another dream, another nightmare. Terrible thing. And I want you to notice then letter B, the effect of the dreams, the effects of the dreams. And there's a couple of effects that we find here. First of all, they were troubling. I've already referred to them as nightmares. Where did I get that idea from? Well, look at verse number 8. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit is troubled. This is something, these dreams have just really, I think the way they would say it these days, the young people, correct me if I'm wrong, young people, they weirded him out. Maybe I just invented that one, I don't know. But anyway, he's troubled by this. These dreams are just, they're having an impact on him, and his spirit is troubled by it. Not only were they troubling, but number two, they were baffling. They were baffling. Verse number 8, the Bible says not only was his spirit troubled, but then it says that he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there were none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. In other words, Pharaoh brings in the very wisest of men, the very best of the magicians that were in his court, men who were knowledgeable in the interpreting of dreams and in various things, and yet they don't have a clue. One commentator, I think, said it very well when he noted this. He said, all the wise men of Pharaoh's court were helpless to explain the revelation of God, for it takes more than the wisdom of this world to understand God's divine revelations. Pretty well said. Pretty well said. And of course, that very same thing is true today, is it not? For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Bottom line is simply this. Unsaved men will never be able to give a proper understanding of the things that God reveals. Never be able to do it. And so when Pharaoh presented his dreams to these magicians and to these wise men, they're totally baffled by it. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what it means. So they were troubling. They were baffling. There's another thing about these dreams that I want us to notice, and that is this. They were provoking. They're provoking. In other words, they finally provoked the chief butler to remember Joseph. 2 years have passed. Hadn't even thought about Joseph. And now Pharaoh has these dreams, and the butler is provoked to remember the promise that he had made 2 years before. Verse number 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. I remember my faults. I made a promise and I didn't keep it. I was wrong. And now I'm reminded of that. I remember my faults this day. And then the chief butler reminded Pharaoh of the story. And in verse number 10, he tells Pharaoh, he said, you remember, this is the Crocker version. He said, you remember, Pharaoh? And then here's what he said. You remember, Pharaoh, you were wroth with your servants, and you put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And then in verse number 11, he told of the dreams that those men had there in the prison. In verse 12 and verse 13, he then not only told of the dreams, but he told of the interpreter of those dreams. He told, first of all, three things about him. He told his nationality. He said, this fellow was a Hebrew. He also told his position. He was a servant of the captain of the guard. And he also told his accuracy. Everything that man told us came to pass exactly as he said. In other words, he was not 98% right. You know, some people, they get all excited. These fortune tellers, you know, they come out and they say, oh yeah, boy, he's dependable. Really? Oh yeah. He's 98% correct. 98% of the time, he's right. Well, it's that 2% that bothers me. Right? It's that 2% that bothers me. The Bible makes it very clear, if a man makes a prophecy and it doesn't come to pass exactly as he says, then it's not of God. Right? And so this chief butler, he tells Pharaoh, this man, not only did he tell us what we dreamed and the meaning of it, but he was spot on. Everything he said, that's exactly the way it came to pass. I want you to notice here the fact that Pharaoh heard of Joseph's deeds in prison. Joseph's in prison when all these things happen. Now Pharaoh hears about it. And the fact that Pharaoh heard of what Joseph did in the prison should be a great encouragement to every Christian who has a desire to serve God. Butler, a fellow by the name of John Butler, he said it very well when he said this. He said, faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to the Lord will not go unnoticed. It will not go unnoticed, even though it is obscure and the place of service is ever so humble. It will not go unnoticed. It will not go unnoticed. And then that brings us to the second thing I want us to notice, and that's Pharaoh's command. Pharaoh's command. Verse 14, verse 15, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. A couple of things that I think of as I consider the passage that we've just read. First of all, I would think of the natural response. The natural response. I think it would have been totally natural. It would have been totally understandable if Joseph had have said something like this. Yes, God has given me the power. He's given me the ability to interpret dreams. I did it for your chief butler. I did it for your chief baker. And I'll do it for you too, Pharaoh, if you'll do something for me. Wouldn't that be natural? Yeah? I'll do it for you, but you know, I want you to do something for me. I'd like you to overthrow my sentence. I'm innocent of all charges. Not only I want you to overthrow my sentence, I'd like you to clear my name. I haven't done anything wrong. I want you to clear my name. I'd also like you to... I want you to punish my enemies. I want my pound of flesh. I want vengeance. I want you to deal with my enemies. And also, I think it would be good. I've been serving in your prison house now for several years, and I want some compensation. Back pay. All right? I want some compensation. By the way, in verse number 46, we find that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. 30 years old. Remember, he went into slavery when he was how old? Do you remember? He was 17 years old. He's got 13 years of back pay. Boy, that's a nice little nest egg, isn't it? Joseph could have very well said, after you have done all that, then you can return me to my father's house in Canaan, and if you'll agree to that, then I'll tell you what your dream means. Now, that would have been the natural thing. Been natural. You probably don't remember this. In America, I know Pastor Moore will remember, and Mrs. Moore, and probably Andrea. But you used to have a game show in America called Let's Make a Deal. Remember that? Let's make a deal. And that's probably very natural. Very natural. But as we have seen many times, Joseph had such a godly character that he did not operate in the realm of the natural. He didn't operate in the realm of the natural. So then we see the godly response. The godly response. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In other words, Joseph gave a response that did a couple of things. First of all, it demoted self. It demoted, it's not me. It demoted self. It's a dangerous thing when people begin serving God to exalt self. And it happens all the time. Happens all the time. Just listen to their testimonies. It's all about me. And I did this, and I did this, and this, and this. And it's all me, 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 me. See? No, Joseph had a character that demoted self. And it demoted self so that it might more clearly glorify God. It's not me, but it's God. Get your eyes off of me. It's Him. It's God that does this. It's God who will give the answer. And by the way, this answer also revealed great faith. Revealed great faith. Joseph declared that even though he did not know that the dream, he did not know the meaning of the dreams or the interpretation of the dreams, here's what he said. He said, it will be an answer of peace. Did you notice that? He said it's going to come from God. It's going to come from God. And God will give to Pharaoh. Here it is. He doesn't even know what the dream is yet. And yet he says it's going to be an answer of peace. It's going to be an answer of peace. In other words, he knew that no matter what was revealed, no matter what the dreams revealed, if God is in this thing, it's going to be for Pharaoh's good. It's going to be for God's glory. It's going to be an answer of peace. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. It's going to be an answer of peace. Notice then, number three, Pharaoh's revelation. Pharaoh's revelation, and there's two ways that we can look at this, two sides. First of all, there's the revelation that came from Pharaoh. The revelation from the Pharaoh. That is, Pharaoh revealed to Joseph what he had dreamed. You can read it there, verse 17 to verse number 24. He tells him about those cows, you know, fat cows, skinny cows. Skinny cows eat up the fat cows, you know, kind of like sound like zombie cows, doesn't it? And they eat up the fat cows, and yet they're still skinny, you know, didn't gain any weight at all. And then there's the corn dream, you know, and there's the good corn, big fat ears of corn, luscious and sweet and full, and then there's those skinny corn ears that have been blasted with the east wind and all shriveled up, and then they eat up the fat ears of corn, and yet they're still skinny. Pharaoh tells him all that. And then we see Pharaoh's revelation. In other words, not the revelation that came from Pharaoh, but then we see the revelation that was given to the Pharaoh. The revelation given to the Pharaoh. And we find in verse 25 to verse number 31, we find the meanings. The meanings. Basically, the meanings was this. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. The seven fat cows, they represent 7 years of great plenty. And the seven fat ears of corn, they also represent 7 years of plenty. Going to be 7 years of plenty. But then those 7 years of plenty, Joseph said, now they're going to be followed by 7 years of famine. There's going to be 7 years of famine. The seven skinny cows are going to come, and they're going to eat up the fat cows. In other words, all of the plenty that you have the first 7 years, the next 7 years is going to totally cancel it out, and there's going to be nothing left. In the same way with the corn, the seven thin ears are going to eat up all of the prosperity that the seven fat ears represented, and yet still they're going to be skinny ears of corn. Nothing left. Verse number 31, he sums it up with a very frightening statement. And he says, the plenty, that first 7 years, the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following. It shall be very grievous. In other words, these are some frightening dreams. Some frightening dreams. And then we see there is also then in the revelation given to Pharaoh, there's the certainties. The certainties. In verse number 32, Joseph says this. He says, "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice." The dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing, what I've just told you, it's because this thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. In other words, this is not just a fluke thing. You've had this dream. You've had it twice. Basically, it's the same dream. And the reason for it is simply because you can mark it down. It's as sure as tomorrow's sunrise. What God has said is coming, it's going to come. It's going to come. It's a certainty. And after these revelations, then we find number four, Pharaoh's counsel. Pharaoh's counsel. Now you need to remember that in the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament seers, you need to remember that their work was a twofold work. Their work was a twofold work. First of all, they were, of course, as we understand the word prophet, they were foretellers. They were foretellers. In other words, they prophesied, they told what was going to come in the future. And they would foretell what God was going to do. But not only were they foretellers, they were what some have called forthtellers. Forthtellers. In other words, not only did they say what God was going to do, but because of what God was going to do, they would then tell men, "Now here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do." And so that was the work of the prophet. One commentator said it this way. He said, "The prophet prescribed the duties of the present in light of the predicted future." The prophet prescribed the duties of the present. What you need to do right now because of what God is going to do in the future. By the way, that's the very same thing the Apostle Peter said, isn't it? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. He said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" In light of the fact that this world is going to perish, it's all going to be burned up, it's all going to pass away, what should we be doing in light of that future promise? And of course the answer is, we need to be godly. We need to be holy. We need to be living right. So after revealing what was going to come, Joseph then gave Pharaoh some counsel about what he ought to do. This is what's going to happen. God has declared it's going to happen. It's as sure as tomorrow's sunrise. Now Pharaoh, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Verse 33. "Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." Two things were suggested here. First of all, select leadership. Select leadership. But not just any man. Not just any man. Select someone who is discreet and wise. Someone who's discreet and wise. The wrong man in this situation could make a mess of everything. The wrong man in this situation could create a situation so that everything would be lost. The right leader was chosen. After the right leader was chosen, then Pharaoh was instructed that he should delegate responsibility. In verse number 34, he talks about appointing officers. He talks in verse 34 to verse 36 about appointing responsibilities. Joseph instructs Pharaoh that during these 7 years of plenty, that one-fifth of all the harvest of Egypt should be collected and put into storage. And during those plenteous years, they were to be collecting and storing food so that when the 7 years of famine came, the land would not be in a starvation situation, but they would be able to survive. They'll be able to survive. Verse number 36, the purpose of all of this delegation was simply, notice the last part there, that the land perish not through the famine. Again, we've seen Joseph as a faithful prophet. He was faithful when he stood before the chief butler and the chief baker. He told them the truth. When it was good news, when it was bad news, he told them the truth. He spoke very clearly, spoke very plainly. And now he stands before Pharaoh. He does the very same thing. He spoke the truth, both the good and the bad. Hey, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. Boy, it'd be tempting to stop right there, right? I mean, after all, in 7 years, I'll be back in Canaan, and it won't matter. You know, I'll just tell him what he wants to hear. I'll just give him the good news. No, he was more faithful than that. He spoke both the good and then he declared the bad. And then he declared the responsibility that comes with knowledge. You see, what we know, what God reveals to us, it always carries with it a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is what? Much is required. Much is required. And Joseph was faithful to declare not only everything that was going to come, but he also declared how Pharaoh ought to respond to what God had revealed to him. And as we're going to see next time, Pharaoh, to his credit, is going to listen to the man of God. And he's going to obey the command of God. And Egypt is going to be blessed because of it. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening.